Hey everybody, it's another Sunday from your easy chair and from my work chair. I have a message for each one of us. Love you all, miss you. Mary's and I are both doing well. The kids are all well. Hope you're good at your end. Please check in with us on the Facebook site, Truth Bible Fellowship Family. Just let us know how you're doing. And let's open with prayer. Father, we just thank you that even though we can't be together, your Holy Spirit unifies us today and draws us all together as one. We ask that you see us through this coronavirus situation that we're going through right now, and that you provide for each one of us and quell our fears and concerns. Lord, we know you're in charge. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. The title of my message is Adaptable. And from 1 Corinthians 9:19, we read, "Even though I'm free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people, religious, non-religious, meticulous moralists, loose-living immoralists, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ, but I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life." Maybe you're a person who hates change. You're not alone. About 80% of us in studies reveal our distaste of and distrust for change. And here's the scary part. God calls us to change. First, when we accept his offer to become his children, that is a big change. It's like you get a message on your laptop screen that says, "Will you allow the Holy Spirit to make changes to your computer?" And when we say yes, wham, bam, by the great I am, here is the even scarier part. He calls us to change regularly. And many of us have successfully resisted him to the point that we've essentially frozen in our spiritual growth for a long time now. With the coming of the Lord into our lives comes adaptability. We must learn to adapt to the Lord's work in our lives personally, and because the Lord calls us to be multitaskers, we must be adaptable in the other areas of our lives. And like an umbrella covering every aspect of our lives, I'm not a Christian in one instance and then not in another. Every area and concern in my life is to be understood through the lens of Scripture and the influence of the Holy Spirit. And so we come to this. What are we? Now that we have counted the cost and stepped into the light and been translated from corruption to incorruption and from death to life, what are we? Well, we're many things, but in this life, as believers, we have one job and one calling, and Jesus tells us what that is. In Acts 7:1 through 9, and as always, love must compel us. Acts 1, Jesus says, he told them, "You don't get to know the time. Timing is the Father's business. What you'll get is the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you'll be able to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all over Judea and Samaria, and even to the ends of the world." And these were his last words. As they watched, he was taken up and disappeared in a cloud. This is the last moment that the resurrected Lord appears to his disciples, and they ask him a question that they should have known the answer to. Basically, he says, "It's none of your business when I'm coming back or when I'm going to restore Israel or any of these other things. Here is what you need to be concerned with. You are my witnesses." And you're going to have to be adaptable because the power, direction, and wisdom working in you will not be your own. In fact, you may find yourself resisting it. But from now on, it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And then he was gone. His last words. How important do you think they are? And Paul tells us when we get bogged down or forget our purpose in Ephesians 5:14, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. What opportunities do wise witnesses watch out for? We need to recognize opportunities to share our faith and make the most of them. And how then do we do this? Adaptability. 1 Corinthians 9:19 says, even though I'm free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people, religious, non-religious, moralists, loose-living immoralists, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ, but I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. And Paul goes on. This was our text that we opened with, but here he goes on. I did all this because of the message. I just didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. You've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race. Everyone runs. Only one wins. Run to win. All good athletes train hard, and they do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You're after one that's God, that's gold eternally. I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. No sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else all about it, and then missing out myself. One of the parts of this passage says, I didn't just want to talk about it, I wanted to be in on it. To be a Christian means to be a witness, not just to talk about fishing, but actually fishing, fishers of mankind, mending your nets, steering your boat out onto the scary water where the fish are, casting your nets, coming up empty, but trying again and again. Another part of the passage I'm selecting. You've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race. Everyone runs, one wins. Run to win. All good athletes train hard, and they do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You're after one that's gold eternally. I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. Paul's conversation turns to sports. And he asks us to recall when we've been to a sports stadium to watch a race. He's saying, look how hard these people train, and they all run. They all participate. And after appealing to our memories of watching these games, he tells us in so many words, we must not be observers. We must be runners running the race. The runners in the Greek games won a crown made from laurel leaves. These are the bay leaves that we dry and put in soups and sauce. And what happens to these leaves after a while? They're tasteless and bound for the trash. Paul says we run for gold, a crown that will never fade. It's eternal. There are many crowns mentioned in Scripture, and they're there for another time and another message, but there's a crown mentioned by the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Paul is saying that his crown of glory is all of the people who he has helped into the kingdom. That as he stands in the presence of Jesus, the crowning achievement of his life is all the people that were saved through his witnessing. And he is not boasting or glorying in his personal accomplishment. He is glorying in the faithfulness of God and his promise to work through him to bring others to salvation in Jesus. What will we have to be proud of on that day? Nothing. But we will be filled with joy over God's goodness and his faithfulness and his love. We are wise to remember this is not a contest or a competition. And God has made each of us unique and given us gifts. It is our responsibility to discover ways to use them to win souls, for every soul that is won is not ours to boast about, but all to give God the glory. But is it every believer's responsibility to witness? Proverbs puts it quite succinctly. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. James 3:13 says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Our deeds done for others, not in pride to earn favor with God or man, but as a means to bring attention to the good character that comes from people who are born again. God gets the glory. This helps people see we are different and aids in winning souls. So a soul winner must be a doer as well as a vocal witness. If you determine to share your faith, expect that God will open a door for you to do so. Naturally, and not forced or awkwardly. Bad witnesses often try to force things by not waiting on God for an opportunity. Many times we will have to earn that privilege through developing a relationship. As most of you know, I'm not a proponent of the big evangelistic outreaches. They require resources and time and personnel borrowed from local churches for long periods of time, and they really yield little fruit. It's been my experience, as I've been involved in them, that they become big get-togethers for the church and not much for the bang for the buck in winning souls. I prefer, and I believe the Bible advocates for face-to-face witnessing. And no one who names the name of Jesus is excused from their personal responsibility to be what Jesus created them to be. You are my witnesses. So what do we do, Pastor Mike? Be adaptable. Well, it's not in my character to speak to people about difficult things. The old adage applies. God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay that way. And if we never did what we don't like to do, we would rarely obey God. Here's a plan. There are times when opportunities arise, and we must act on the spot to share our faith serendipitously. As the Word puts it, be prepared in season and out of season. But in most cases, we must be more purposeful. So here's a plan. Implement it and see how God will use you. 1. Pray for God to reveal a person or family for you to witness to. 2. When God reveals them to you or puts them on your heart, so to speak, through one of the many ways he does his revealing, pray specifically for them. And that what God would either provide the opportunity or reveal an alternative way in which to do it. We forget so easily. Write the name down or put the picture up on the fridge. That's a place I think we're all seeing a little too often now that we're shut in. 4, use your imagination. Call them. Ask if you can pray for their needs. Write a letter, post or a postcard. Send them an email, text message, messenger. Gather your thoughts and tell them you love and appreciate them, etc. And share in your own words. 5, invite them over or bring them cookies or a meal. Develop that relationship. And 6, and this is important, tell them your own experience when you were born again. No one can argue with your personal story. They weren't there. It was between you and God, and it's powerful. Now you have a purpose. You have a goal. You have a plan. Let's go for it. There's no feeling on earth like being used by God to usher a lost soul into the family of God. Experience it for yourself. Jesus called us all. You are my witnesses. Now to each and every one of you, witnesses, go and witness. My love to you all. Father, I pray for each one of us now that you would embolden us, that you would put purpose in our hearts, that you would put expectation in our hearts, knowing that you want us to be what you made us to be, witnesses. And help us, Lord, give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding and love and all the gifts of your Spirit that we might aim them and shoot them like an arrow and see what target we may hit with your love and salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.